Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hello, family, and welcome, and hopefully everything is going great. Amen. Well, I claim it. Everything is going great and good on this end. I pray that it continues to be that way. Hopefully everyone is watching for the return of our Lord and Savior. Family, hopefully you've all had a great and wonderful week. We're praying for each and every one of you. Stay strong during these times and seasons of the last days. Family, we are here with you, believing with you that some good things are going to continue to happen. So make sure that we are praying for those that have been affected by the pandemic. We see that at least I know here in Texas, some of the jobs and companies are really pretty much like everyone is back open again. But I know a lot of people who have owned their own businesses have been seriously impacted to the extent that they may not recover. So just remember that we are praying for them and their financial situation. We're praying for everyone in their health. Remember, that as they have said, that this thing has not gone away. In fact, at least I know here in Texas, they've been talking about, I guess, some type of different type of virus, perhaps. But so just make sure that we are staying protected. I know that when I go out, I still continue to wear my mask. So I highly encourage you guys to do the same thing. So we're just praying for you, praying that you stay healthy, that you stay safe. Always remember to make sure that you're connected to someone, that they're kind of aware of your whereabouts, too. There are still little strange things going on. I believe it's kind of been an increase in different types of violence, and particularly against women. So we want to make sure that we are praying for the safety of our women, the safety of our children, and the safety of ourselves as well. Even the men, make sure we are always staying alert of where we're going and just pay attention. Amen. I know my young gentleman here was just killed here not too long ago. Just kind of hanging out, I guess, around the wrong crowd, the wrong people. So just kind of be aware of where you're at all times and just who you're around. You know, we're living in different times in these days. So just make sure that we're not just carelessly just hanging around people. When I say hanging around people, be very knowledgeable around who you're around. Now, if you're going to a bar, if you're going to a club, you know, I don't judge nobody's life. I know that we did these things a long, long time ago. But even then, I remember when I used to go out, I was always watching for the door. Because you just never know when things are going to pop off. So I know it's a different day and time. And so just make sure that you're a little bit aware of what you're doing and where you're at, okay? So remember, family, we're praying for you. We are praying for the unbelievers that they become saved, that they receive salvation. We're going to continue our salvation series. Let me see if I can pull up a calendar here and see. I think we still have a couple more weeks to go. So I think the next couple more weeks I'm going to focus. I'm going to add love into this little salvation series that we're doing. Of course, in the month of May, we're going to continue to get back to eschatology teachings, which is the study of end time events, the study of end time things. So we're going to do that. I'm just trying to pull up my calendar here. There we go. So we can kind of take a look at how much longer we got to go for this little series here. Just been in the spirit most of the day, been listening to my gospel music, been studying and getting ready for this word. So we're going to go ahead and just give you a little glimpse. But focusing on salvation. Salvation is so important. In fact, the devil, when Christ was resurrected, Satan, the fallen angels, demons, they all knew it was over. It was a wrap. when he ascended to heaven and now sits on the right-hand throne of the Most High, Yahweh, it was over. Satan knew that it was over. Sin, death, hell, the fallen angels, the demons, they know where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in the lake of fire of brimstone for all eternity. And there's no turning back, okay? All the unbelievers that have lost their souls, that have sold their souls and died and are in hell now, there is no return. So our main hope now is that you that are still alive, I remember when I was younger, my dad used to always say, as long as you have breath in your body, you can receive salvation. And we don't want anyone to believe that you can, that because you sold your soul, I've heard people say things like that. It always mystifies me, why in the world would you want to sell your soul or give your soul to a being that hates you? So don't make no mistake about it. Lucifer hates man. He doesn't love you. People sell their soul for what they can get in this life. But little do they know that this life is very time is short on this earth. We're here for a short while. Now, I just don't see the purpose of the point of living 50 years or less or more and losing your soul for all eternity. I've never understood that purpose. Anyway, with that being said, I can't find my calendar, but that's a little strange. Anyway, throughout the rest of the month of April, we're going to continue to teach on this salvation series. I'm going to add love into the salvation series because I told you from the beginning, for now a little over 20 years, I've been teaching salvation. That is my calling to ministry. And in fact, my anniversary for salvation is coming up this upcoming week. I was saved April 15, 2000. Amen. That's when I officially acknowledged the Most High. I know prior to that, I think it was about a week prior to that, I had looked up to heaven and said, Heavenly Father, no matter what, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. Amen. At the time I wasn't knowledgeable about the Bible at that time about hell and the lake of fire. I didn't realize that the lake of fire was actually where you're going to burn for all eternity. A lot of people think that you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. No, hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And the word said that hell shall enlarge itself the closer to the time of the end, meaning that more and more people are going to, the souls are going to be lost. And then, again, this is what the falling away of the church is. See, a lot of people think the falling away of the church is that people who are saved are going to lose their salvation. That is not the falling away of the church. In fact, that's incorrect teaching. The falling away of the church means that less and less people will seek salvation, will become part of the church body in which Christ is going to come back and raise from the dead and also gather those that are still alive and remain. That's the church. More and more people will turn away from God, meaning that they don't want nothing to do with salvation. They don't want nothing to do with God. So we have to make sure that we're interpreting the word correctly and teaching the rightly divided word, because a lot of people think the following of the church is that people are going to turn from God, meaning that they're going to lose their salvation, which you know from what I teach that there's no such thing. We're going to get into that today. But before we do, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm going to go ahead and, of course, read the scripture, The Context of Love by Paul, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Again, this is written by Paul. So let's go ahead and read what it says. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. All glory to the Most High. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another beautiful day, dear Heavenly Father, a day that you said that we should be here, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the keeper, the Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, the one that leads us and guides us, dear Heavenly Father, and keeps us and protects us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the cross, the tree that your Son died on, dear Heavenly Father, that he made the ultimate sacrifice to redeem me and millions of others and possibly billions of others. To you, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the resurrection of Christ, dear Heavenly Father, the first fruits, dear Heavenly Father, that we may be redeemed back to you, that we may live and be with you for all eternity. Again, we bless and praise your holy name, Heavenly Father. Yahweh, Father, we thank you for what you've done for us, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for saving my lost soul, dear Heavenly Father, for I need you, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we just come praying that the flesh mind be removed, that the spirit, that our spiritual mind be opened, dear Heavenly Father, to receive your Holy Spirit and your word. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right into the word. You know how I do. I like to get right into it. I'm not big on, you know, big words and a lot of different things. Yeah, even I used to preach and pastor in church and preach at churches. I was never really big on, you know, just I guess a hype man type of thing of pumping up people, and I left that to somebody else, the praise leader or whatever. I left that to them. I'd like to get directly into the word, so that's what we're going to do. Again, we are continuing this series on salvation throughout the month of April. Then we're going to get back into eschatological teaching next month in the month of May. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start out. We're going to go ahead and where do I want to start? Let's see what I have here for scriptures. Let's look at my notes and see what I have here. Let's go ahead and start. St. John, I don't know what, I do have something. I have an agenda today. We're going to do the plan of salvation versus a sinner's prayer. Amen. Me and a brother were just talking about that the other day, and it's so funny that he mentioned it. I didn't really get a chance to talk to him because, you know, I'm busy, he's busy, but it was just interesting to hear his thought. But it's so funny because I'd already planned this for this teaching. So we're going to go to St. John, the 9th chapter, verse 31. I think this is a perfect subject. I think this is a perfect time to talk about this. Before I get started, I must say this because it's been on my heart all today while I was studying. As I was saying earlier, Lucifer knows he's done. They lost. His biggest trick right now is deceiving those who attend church. I'm not going to say the believers, because those of us who are believers, we understand. His biggest trick right now is deceiving those who attend church, who are seeking. And the way he deceives people is that he have people believing or teaching that salvation is through works. When those of us who study the Bible understand the plan of salvation, we understand that salvation is not by what you do. So if salvation is not by works, salvation is not kept by works. In fact, there is no such thing. And I'm going to show you scripture to prove that. And why I say it is very important that people who teach that you can lose your salvation should not teach that, because the Bible does not support that in any form. So if you're teaching that and you're listening, I highly encourage you to continue to pray and to seek the scripture study to show thyself approved. And like I tell people, don't listen to me. Don't take my word for anything, because I am man. You do your own study and research. But my 20 years of research and studying has shown me that the Bible does not teach that man can lose your salvation. Because when Christ died on the cross, that was the purpose of Yahweh sending him to redeem man back to him, to give us salvation. okay, was not to lose us back to Satan. Satan doesn't have that power, and I said that the other week. Satan is an adversary, but he is not a nemesis to the extent to where he rivals the Most High. There's no such thing. The Most High has no rival. There's nothing or no one in existence that can rival Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. No. Is you an enemy of him because you are unbeliever? Yes. At one point, I was an enemy of Yahweh because I did not believe, even though I was raised in church. Because why? I rejected him. I chose not to follow, amen, the example of my father and my mother and those who came before me and tried to teach me about salvation and becoming a believer. Now, I understand that then their teachings was a little different, but pretty much it was still the same thing. You had to believe. You had to come to Christ to get to the Father, to receive everlasting life, eternal life. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to some scriptures. Enough of me talking. I like to give you the word. So we're going to go ahead and start out with St. John, the 9th chapter, verse 31. I may go ahead and take up the whole hour and a half today, but I'm going to try to do it as much as I can by the Holy Spirit. This is what it says, St. John, the 9th chapter, verse 31. It says, "Now we know that Yahweh heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, him he heareth." Amen. I like to read the word amen because when I was in seminary, they always taught us three things, three main keys to interpretation. What does the Bible say? What does it mean? What do I do? Now, the second one is an action, meaning that when I say what does it mean, that means I have to do some work. And they always taught us, hey, we can only show you, but you have to do the work, meaning that I have to study to show what? Myself approved. So when I say what does the scripture mean, I have to do some study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. See, people are reading scriptures, but they're not getting the understanding. The word says then all you're getting, get an understanding, meaning that you must study the word to interpret, to understand what the scripture is saying by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go ahead and break down that scripture again. It says, "Now we know that Yahweh heareth not sinners." Now, who is he talking to? The audience here is the believers. We as believers know that God, amen, the one that sits up on the throne, the heavenly, appears not a sinner man, a person who rejects God, an unbeliever. So a lot of people say, well, I pray to God. I just be looking and listening to people like, huh, you did, right? You prayed to God. Do you think he hurt you? Now, I'm thinking this. I don't say it to people, but I'm thinking to myself, do you think that he hurt you? No, he doesn't hear you. Because you have chosen to reject him. Now, understand this. Why should he hear you if you are choosing to reject him? Ain't that something? I wouldn't hear you either if you would reject me. So basically, if you're going to be nonchalant with me, guess what? I'll be nonchalant with you. See, that's how the Heavenly Father works. See, he loves you, but he doesn't owe us anything. The Bible says he's a respecter of what? No one. So he doesn't owe you anything. So because you choose to what? Not hear him. Amen. He's saying, well, okay, you rejected me. I don't need to hear you. So we have to really think about that, okay? Because a lot of times, you know, people think that, oh, well, he owes me something. No, he doesn't owe you anything, okay? Again, he loves you, but he doesn't necessarily hear you. Now watch this. He says, "But if any man be a worshiper of God," so now we know that John's talking about we worship him. To worship him, we must be what? A believer. And if you recall what Christ said to the woman at the well, he said, let me go and give you some scripture. I don't want to mess up the scripture because some scriptures I can quote and some I can't. I can't remember like I used to. But let's go over to St. John, the 4th chapter. And he said, ye worship, this is St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 22. He said, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Okay? So we know as believers who we worship. There are people who attend church and don't even know who they were. They just clapping their hands, singing and praise dancing and sliding up and down the floor, but they don't know who they worship. You have to know who your God is. My God is so powerful that I can't lose my salvation. So I don't preach that because I know who my God is. He's all-powerful, okay? Now watch this. And it says, and do his will, him he heareth. So in other words, you have to do his what? Commandments. And because you believe in him, because we know that we can't do his commandments without having his Holy Spirit in us. without believing. That's why I say salvation is not by works, but by faith. Amen. That's what the scripture says. So you can't make that. I can't make that up. I'm not that good, right? So again, we're talking about the plan of salvation versus a sinner's prayer. Now I want to address this because I used to always hear a sinner's prayer when I was coming up, when I was young. I used to hear pastors and ministers say that alike, but never really understood what it meant until after I got saved. And I used to always hear that, and I was like, I was kind of curious, like, well, what is a sinner's prayer? And so I finally asked this pastor, what was a sinner's prayer? And he began to explain to me, it's a prayer that sinners pray to basically become saved. Now, I say that there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer because there's nowhere in the Bible is there anything that relates to that, except for Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 10 and 9. So the difference is, and the reason why I don't acknowledge that there's a sinner's prayer, because there's, again, nothing that supports that saying, meaning that for you to pray. Now, I understand when we say confession. So if you want to say a confession is a prayer, then I'm with that. Okay, then I understand where they was going when they say a sinner's prayer. But I don't like to use a sinner's prayer. Instead, I'd rather say the plan of salvation, which is probably the same thing if you want to say that. Okay, so understand that when we say that there is a sinner's prayer or a plan of salvation, it is a transition from what? Spiritual death to life, meaning that you have become saved. So I understood then, once I began to understand what salvation and how to become saved, because most people who attend church don't even understand how to become saved. When I used to teach Sunday school and I used to teach Wednesday night Bible study and just teach Bible study, even when I was a pastor and I used to ask people, you know, it just out of curiosity, because I began to understand salvation. I said, you know what? I'm curious to see if the average churchgoer even understand what salvation is. Now, I would ask them, I say, how do you become saved? And the first response people would say in the church is, well, you got to live right, and you got to do his will, you got to do the commandments. And I said, huh. So they actually think salvation is by doing versus confessing. And it's not. Salvation is by faith. And after you become, after you have the faith, after you believe in him, then comes the works. See, what I'm saying to you is you can be good all day long. You can be a person out in the world that do good and be a do-gooder and do good in the neighborhood, do charity work and just be a good person, a good moral person. But you say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe that Christ died for my sins. Well, see, there is the problem. See, that's why salvation is not by doing. Because if he does good, if he lives the Bible to a T better than the person that said they have faith in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ, he don't believe Christ died for his sin, he is lost. He or she is lost. That is why salvation is not by works, but by faith. And then after the faith, then comes the work. That's why I say you always have to put the horses before the carriage to go forward. You can't put the carriage before the horse. You won't go anywhere. Salvation is by faith. Then by faith, the Holy Spirit comes in and leads and guides you to do the will of the Most High. See, I couldn't teach this word without the Holy Spirit in me. See, you can pick up the Bible all you want as an unbeliever, but you won't understand it. See, I thought I knew the Bible before I got saved, but I didn't know anything. I said, wow. Now, if I became saved, I understood the word a lot better. Again, we're talking about the plan of salvation versus a sinner's prayer. And this is why I like to say a plan of salvation, because why? It was a plan. Yahweh had a plan from the very beginning to save and to redeem man from sin. Okay? So, again, back to the scripture, St. John, the 9th chapter, verse 31. So John is talking about, we know that God heareth not what? A sinner's, the prayer of us, he heareth not sinners. So what is he talking about, okay? So you want to say, so you're saying, well, was he really talking about? Yes, he was talking about prayer here in this scripture. That's why it's very important that we understand the plan of salvation versus a sinner's prayer, because if a person doesn't believe in the Most High and they begin to pray, the Most High doesn't hear them. And I'm going to show you some more scriptures to prove that theory, okay, to prove that to you, because, again, when we talk about confession, which is a little different, they mean that we are acknowledging him and we want to become saved. Now, I'm going to call your attention over to Psalms, the 66th chapter. Let's go over there. Psalms, the 66th chapter, verse 18. Now, this is a very old scripture with me. This is one of the scriptures right after I got saved, this scripture was made known to me through my pastor at the time. He had preached a sermon on this. He had mentioned the scripture. So this, for me, this is like one of the first scriptures that I learned in my salvation over 20 years ago. In Psalm, the 66th chapter, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Again, here is referring to us basically speaking to the Most High, talking to him. We know that's how we talk to him, is through our prayer, intercession. And so we think about, I remember when I was out in the world, and I would think, you know, he was always taught to pray, but not being aware that he's not hearing our prayers. Because a lot of people think that he is hearing your prayers. And so we're going to go ahead and look at some more scriptures, because there are people out there, from what I've learned, that actually believe that he does hear you. No, he hears your transition from spiritual death to life. In other words, when you want to become saved, he hears you being. He doesn't hear your prayer. You say, "Well, Lord, I want." And the funny thing is that when people get into trouble, who is the first person they call on? They don't call Allah. They don't call Buddha. They don't call Confucius and all these other false gods and false teachers and Mohammed. They don't call those people. When you get into trouble, I've actually seen people do it. I've seen people get into serious mess and say, "Man, if there is a God, God is real. Man, oh God, man, let something bad happen. Let something physical happen to you." The first person you be in the car. See, and I don't want to go too deep in this, because I want to focus on this plan of salvation versus sinner's prayer. But Paul talked about it over in Romans, the first chapter, that every being on this earth, even animals, acknowledge there's a higher power. They acknowledge God of heaven. They praise him. That's why the Bible says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." So when you get into trouble, what's the first thing? Who's the first person you call? You ain't calling no mama. You ain't calling no daddy. You ain't calling your boss. You calling on God, because you know not. You don't even call on Satan. The unbelievers don't even call on Satan. You know, and maybe there are some that do, but the average person, and even the person that serves Satan, let something extreme happen to it, to something touch you to where your very life is in danger. I guarantee you, I promise you, they're going to call on the God of heaven. Man, let me share this. Let me show you proof. I got to show you proof. And this is not something I even had written in my notes. You know, I always end up sharing scripture that's not even in my notes. Let me share something with you. I'm going to go over to Daniel. Let me show you that everybody, even the ones that said they don't believe in God, and that they, even these folks that call themselves atheists, they know better. They know there's a God. Deep down, he put something in you. Read Romans, the first chapter, what Paul wrote. Paul said that he put something deep in you, amen, to let you know that there is a God. Even the animals know that there's a God. So you can play games all you want to. As a young people, like says my kid, they say, "Play stupid games, receive stupid rewards," something like that the young people say. I'm trying to make it over to Daniel real quick. There we go, the book of Daniel. Amen. Oh, here it is right here. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 11, I'm just going to throw this in there, because this is to let you know that when people play games, they don't believe in God, there is no God. They really know there's a God. Again, let something touch them. Let a near-death experience almost to take them out of here. Oh, man, that unbelieving mindset changes real quick. Verse 11 says, "And it is a rare thing that the king required, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Okay? So, again, they understood what Daniel, they knew that Daniel had a connection, that Daniel could reach out, okay? he can reach out to the Most High God, not the false God, but the Most High God. So we're going to go ahead and get back to the scripture. Go back over to the main scripture today. I want to go over to Proverbs, the first chapter. I want to kind of make sure I stay on course because of the sake of time. Proverbs, the first chapter. And we'll look at verse 28 and 29. Okay? Again, we're talking about the plan of salvation versus the sinner's prayer. So we have to understand what the plan of salvation is. The plan of salvation is your transition from spiritual death, spiritual life. Now, because when I say spiritual death, because the Bible says it appoints unto man once to die. Okay? Now, we also remember the mystery that Paul talked about, to where some won't die, because they'll be caught up. Now, I've heard some people say that that they believe that they would die and be caught up. But again, we just want to focus on the plan of salvation, okay? So the plan of salvation is when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, and now he sits on the right hand of the Most High, and thou shalt be saved. That's the plan of salvation. So that's your transition from an unbeliever to a believer. And that happens immediately. As soon as you do that, the Holy Spirit hits you and indwells you immediately. I mean, if you was to die the next split second, you were saved. You're going to heaven, okay? You're going to live for all eternity because you receive, you believe, you receive salvation, okay? Now, the sinner's prayer, which I believe what they meant was the same thing as the plan of salvation. But what we want to differentiate and make sure that we don't confuse is when sinners pray to the Most High. Because a lot of people think that people who are unbelievers, which are sinners, can pray to God and he hears them. He doesn't. But I believe what they meant in the past, when they say a sinner's prayer, I believe they meant the same thing as the plan of salvation, meaning that there's a transition spiritually from spiritual death, because we know that after this life comes eternity. You're going to spend all eternity dying spiritually or living spiritually, based on what you believe, okay? Now, watch this. We're over in Proverbs, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 28 and 29. It says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge. This is talking about the word. That's what it said when we talk about hated knowledge. They hate the word. See, people of the world hate God's word. They hate to hear the truth. And it said that, and did not choose to fear the Lord. Again, we know the scripture is referring to what? The word. Okay? So because you reject God and choose to be an unbeliever, again, he's not going to hear your prayer. Okay? So let's go to more scripture to get a little bit more detail. So go over to, let's look at the 15th chapter. I think there was another verse I want to look at. Let's look at the 15th. Let's go to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Let's go there. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 28 and 29. We're going to see what it says. Now we're about to get a little bit more detail to show you proof that this is referring to prayer. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 20 says, the heart of the righteous studied to answer. Amen. But the mouth of the wicked poured out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So as you can see here in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 29, that this whole thing that we're talking about is talking about prayer. So if he says the Lord is far from the wicked, which basically means that he has nothing to do with them. So even when they pray to him, he doesn't hear him, because you see here in the scripture, as it concludes in verse 29, the B portion of this verse says, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. On the opposite of that, he doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked, meaning the unbeliever or the people who reject the Most High, which are what we call unbelievers. So he doesn't hear their prayer. Why should he hear your prayer if you reject him? Many times we witness to people and go out and talk to people, or we talk to people about God. I don't want to hear that. I remember, you know, back in the day you talked, but I don't want to hear that. I don't believe in that mess. I don't want to hear that. You know, you speak to people, and brother and sister, I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear about God. I don't hear that. I don't believe in that mess. But when you're in a time of need, so you mean to tell me you have the audacity to pray to me but not come to me and give me your very soul and accept me and let me come in, let my spirit come into you and be one with you and you one with me? So you don't want to be part of this, but yet you want my blessings. That's not just not how it works. You know, it kind of reminds me sometimes when kids reject their parents or they just detest their parents, but then have the nerve to ask for their parents' blessings. In most cases, most parents are not going to do that. It's the same thing with the Most High. You know, he's not going to accept you or he's not going to bless you, you know, in the way that you think. Now, I know the scripture says that he reigns on the just and the unjust. Yes, but there are some things that I have access to that an unbeliever does not have access to. Amen. Give him the glory and the praise. So you can't get what I get, okay? So it's kind of like my kids. My kids' friends can't get what they get. Now, because they hang around my kids or whatever, I may bless them every now and then, but they can't have what my kids have. They don't get the same inheritance that my children have. So when I leave, I'm leaving the inheritance to my children, not my children's friends. They're not out of the household. So I'm just using that as an example, just kind of give you an idea or a thought or a mindset of where I'm going with this. Because they're not of the household of faith, because they don't receive the believer's inheritance. One of the greatest inheritances of the believers is an eternal life. That's one of the greatest things that we will receive becoming a believer. That's the first thing that is acknowledged, that we shall receive eternal life. St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. We covered that last week. That whoso believeth in him shall have eternal life. We should not die. The second death has no effect on us. We should never die. Okay? Now, that I just showed you that in Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 28 and 29. Now we're going to take a look at Proverbs, the 28th chapter. Let's go there real quick. Looks like we're doing pretty good. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 9. Let's see what it says. It says, he that turneth away his ear again from hearing the law. What is the law? The scriptures, the word. The law of the Bible has been passed down, the law. The scriptures, the holy word, right? The commandments of God. So meaning that if you turn your ear away, you are rejecting God. So because you choose to be an unbeliever, again, the question stands. Should he hear a sinner's prayer? I know this is heartbreaking to some people because I've taught it in church for many years, taught and people are just shocked to hear. Oh, they just can't believe that their family members are one in the world living in any kind of an ungodly life and just expecting that he hears your prayer. No, he does not. And no, he should not hear your prayer. The Most High is a respecter of no prayer. You do not. How proud would it be for you to have the same access that I have? So, you know, you're choosing that. You're choosing to be out here in life and just be unruly and ungodly. And I'm choosing to live my life by the commandments the best that I can and live a spiritual life and walk in the spirit. And you're just like, man, I don't want nothing to do with that. And you really expect that he's going to hear your prayer in a time of need. Now, again, we know that he runs on the just. There are some times that where you get blessed. There are some times that a lot of people have to understand is that when he says he runs on the just as well as the unjust, you also have to understand that sometimes you're getting rained on because of us as a believer. Because I'm living in your community, you're getting blessed. Because I work on that job, you're getting blessed. Because I'm on that plane, you're blessed that plane don't crash. See, a lot of times we got to understand when he said that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust, you're getting some of that blessing because I'm in the vicinity. Amen, somebody. Come on and talk to me. See, you're getting some of that trickle down. See, you get some of the crumbs from the table because I'm there, because I'm in the building. You're being blessed because we as believers are around. See, America still has the mercy of the Most High because there are quite a few believers in this country. Other than that, the wrath would come down, just like it did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what he told Lot? He said, Lot, if you find so many, if you find 45, I'll do it. He couldn't find four. He came back. He said, Lot, he got all the way down and said, Lot, five. If you find five, I'll spare. Can you imagine a city with thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, possibly millions of people, that he said, if you just only have five, I'll spare the city? See, sometimes he runs on the just as well as the unjust because of the just. But see, people think, oh, you just living unjust. He said, no, he's blessing the house because of the just. He's merciful because of the just. Amen. Somebody said, you ain't going to talk to me. I'm telling you, this is strong meat over here. Amen. We far past the milk. Amen. Well, we ain't been on the titties in a long time. Amen. We sit at the table with a beer bone, with a fork and knife, and we eating steak over here. Amen, somebody. Come on and talk to me. I'm far past the breast. Amen. We far past the breast milk. You know what I'm saying. Don't get cute. You know what I'm saying. That's been over 20-something years ago. The Lord has blessed us to come up and, amen, you know when you feed your children, you wean them off the breast milk and the milk, and you start feeding them a little bit of table food, and then after a while they grow up, man, they eat steak and potatoes and some vegetables, amen. That's where we at, okay? So I'm just giving you the word, and I'm showing you proof right here. Now let me finish reading Proverbs 28, chapter verse 9, because that second part is a kicker. Now, I'm going to read again. I'm going to break down that second part. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be, amen, an abomination. Now, if you look at that word in the Hebrew, that word abomination means disgust. He's disgusted, and he should be, at the fact that you have the audacity, the nerve to pray to the Most High, and you won't even bring your soul to him. You won't even come in and confess with your mouth. You won't even come in and sup with him. You won't come in and dine with the Most High, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't want no part of that, but you want a part of the blessing. See how people try to pimp the Most High? Oh, God bless me with a good job, but you don't want to come to church and be faithful and teach the word and use your gift and talent. Instead, you want to use your talent out in the world instead of singing for the Lord. Oh, God, bless me with this new car. Bless me with this house. See how people try to pimp the Most High? But see, it ain't happening. It's disgusting that you would have the nerve to come to him and try to sit and say, well, I want this and I want that. But I'm like, you won't even come give me your soul. You don't want to come and live with me for all eternity and praise me for all eternity. Oh, man, give him the praise and the glory. The Bible says that the angels heaven rejoice if just one sinner repent. But you want him to give you all the gifts, all they come that you may have life and have it more abundant. That's life here on earth and have it more abundant in all the eternities. He's going to give you the greatest gift, eternal life. Amen. I was just sharing with a brother the other day that with eternity, man, comes to some of the most greatest gifts that you came. And Paul said that eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what he has for them that love him. Just by you just believe, just confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, meaning that you have faith in that he sent his son to die for your sins, and that he raised him from the dead. Now he said, you're going to get blessed. He said, I'm going to give you the great, you ain't got to do nothing for it. I'm going to give you the greatest gift that Satan and the fallen angels gave up, and that was eternal life. Immortality. Woo, Lord have mercy. Come on. Man, come on, man, look at here. We on some more stuff. We on some other stuff over here. You're going to get immortality. You shall never die. You shall never grow old. Now all you got to do is just bring me your soul. The very thing that people out here trying to do, they try to find a way to live longer. Man, please. You get sick. You gotta eat. You gotta do all these different things to take care of this. And when you get to the other side, when he come back, and we get to live with him. We're gonna come back and reign with him 1,000 years. Then we're gonna live for all eternity. Man, Paul said you can't imagine what he got for you. This is what we talk about. And I don't want people to confuse the two, that you have the liberty to just go to him and just, I'm ready. No, that ain't how it works. It's not how it works. Okay? It's just not how it works. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is work on this side, okay? This ain't just, it ain't just what you think it is. It ain't just, you just come and just do nothing. No, there's work. There's labor, okay? Just like when you go to your job, you got to work. Your boss is still looking at you crazy. You think you're on lunch and break all day. Ain't nobody going to pay you to come on lunch and break all day. It just don't happen. Nothing would get done. It's the same thing in the kingdom. Nothing can get done if we don't put work in. We can't save souls. We don't want to know the Bible. We won't be able to break down the word and to give it to people, to be a blessing to people. This is blessing souls, and hopefully I'm blessing people. And I don't want nobody to be discouraged the fact that, I did it. When I was a sinner, before I actually received it, because I wanted to be doing, my dad was a pastor. He taught us the word. But I wanted to do my own thing. When I got grown, I said, man, I want to do it. I've been in church all my life. It seemed like, man, we was just handcuffed to just go to church all the time. When I got grown to do, man, I would do my own thing. I'm my own man now. I'm grown, got a job, making money. I want to do me. And I would go down and pray at night. Do you think he heard my prayer? No, he did not. Look, at that time, I didn't know. But he don't hear your prayer. He said, now, Tim, you was raised in the church. Your dad was a pastor. Your dad's a pastor. Your mom played the piano in the church. Granny, in church, where she was the mother of her church. Family just blessed, didn't even know it. And I'm living off the blessings and the prayers of my parents and grandparents. For the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Didn't even know that I'm living off a prayer. And what they say, you're living off a wing of the prayer. Man, I'm just out here just living it up, thinking it's me. No, somebody's praying for you. That's why I encourage you all to pray for those unbelievers in your family. See, somebody got to be in the seat. That's why things are happening to people out here in the world wild now, because nobody's praying for you. You got to pray for people. They ain't doing that themselves. You think they out here wild now, and they think they praying for themselves, and the Lord's just forgiving their sins, and they no, that ain't how it works. And we need to stop teaching this stuff. And it's sad that you got people out here, men of the cloth and women of the cloth out here preaching and teaching, just filling folks' ears with a lot just called just to satisfy, because that's just what people want to hear. See, I don't preach stuff just because that's what you want to hear, just to make you feel good and just make you come to the offering plate. He preached a good word. That's not what I do. I'm going to give you the word because I love you. I'm going to give you the truth. The Bible says speak the word of God in truth. And in love. I got to tell you the truth, but I'm going to love you with it. I tell you the truth. I do it because I love you. Amen. Okay? This ain't about no shape, form, okay, or fashion. It's because I love you. Okay? So I want you to know that, because I don't want nobody to get that confused. Pray for those that are unbelievers. I'll pray for the unbelievers in my family. I want them to be saved. I don't want them to be lost. Okay, especially with me, having the knowledge that I've been blessed with, I want them to receive salvation. Even the people that I meet that I don't know, I want them to be saved. I'm praying for yourself. I'm praying for you. I want you to be saved. And people just dying out here every day by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. They say hundreds of thousands of souls, that they die every day. And I can sit and tell you by the word Christ said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. But great is the way that leads to destruction, meaning that more souls are going to be lost. We know as it gets closer to the time of Christ's return, even more souls are going to be lost. But we're here that you might have life. We're preaching and we're putting the work that you may be saved. Okay? So now, amen, we're going to go ahead and look at some more scriptures. I got some more notes here. So there we were covering, we were talking about the plan of salvation versus the sinner's prayer. So hopefully, just to sum it up real quick, that you understand the difference between the two. The plan of salvation is a transition from me being an unbeliever to a believer. So now, meaning that when I leave this life, when this life is over, I now will live for all eternity. So when I open my eyes on the other side, the angels will be here to get me and take me back to glory. Versus me closing my eyes on this side, and in hell you shall lift up your eyes. So the word says that, over in Revelation, it says that John said he saw what? He saw death, and hell was right behind him. So if you are unbelieving, you die in this life, hell is where you're going. After death, immediately comes hell. You're going to hell. It ain't no waiting place. I heard some folks talk about some purgatory stuff. Ain't none of that stuff. Ain't no waiting place. Hell is the waiting place, and it's not where you want to be. You're not going to get out here and be ungodly and unruly and be an unbeliever and reject God and think, I hear so many people say, oh, rest in heaven. Oh, rest in peace. I'll just be like, Lord, have mercy. If we don't stop lying to folks. We know the life that people live. If you never set foot in the church, we can't sit there and say, oh, well, God knew his heart. Yeah, you're right. He knew his heart. He knew her heart. We love to use that. Oh, God knew his heart. He knows your heart. Trust me. It's weighed in the fire. We know what Christ said. When he judged you, oh, man, you're going to be tried in the fire. We want you to be saved. We don't want this playing with God stuff. These folks that quote scriptures. The devil can quote scriptures. The fallen angels know scriptures. They know scriptures. They know, come on now, we got to quit playing with God. Folks that they can just get up here and just live any kind of way, quote some scriptures, say some Bible-like, Christian-y-like stuff, and that's going to get them in. That's not going to get you in. Big Mama and Big Daddy ain't going to get you in. Just setting a foot in the church and going in on what they call quote-unquote Easter Sunday. I don't call it that. Going to church once or twice a year ain't going to get you in. You got to know that you know. That's why it's called the plan of salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This thing ain't by accident. You ain't going to just stumble into heaven. You may think you are, but there's a lot of people going to get highly disappointed. So we're going to cover real quick. No, you know, I got the plan of salvation written down, so we're going to come back and revisit that. But I want to make sure that we understand the plan of salvation. Again, the plan of salvation is Romans 10, 9, and 10. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Yahweh, that Christ died for our sins, and that the Most High raised Yahshua up from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's how you go to heaven. That's how you get it. See, that's not a mistake. That's plan. That's a planned purpose. And when I understood that, and don't get me wrong, the Bible said that if any man call on the name of the Lord, I want to make sure I make this clear, he shall be saved. There are some people that don't realize the scripture. No, I'm not saying that you have to quote the scripture. I'm not saying that you have to go into a church and let a pastor slap you on the face with some oil. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying if you call on the Most High God, the Bible said, how can they hear unless they hear a preacher? See, you have to go to church and hear him. See, before I got saved, I went to church all my life. I've heard the word, but I decided not to accept it. But once I knew, when I said, you know what, it's time, I said, I need to get saved. I didn't know how to say it. I looked up to heaven and said, Lord God, I know that there's a God in heaven, and I know his son is Christ, our Savior, the chosen one, the Messiah. I said, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you. I called on it. I probably didn't know the right words to say and how to confess it, but I knew that day I want to be saved. And make no mistake about it, a lot of people like to say, well, how do you know that person didn't get saved? I'm not saying they didn't, but the Bible said that you know a tree by its fruits. You're not going to sit and tell me that a person got saved and they are real, just ungodly, just unruly, oh, I ain't got to go to church. They just ain't. No, wait a minute now. The Bible said that all things be done, what? Decent and in order. You ain't going to just, again, you ain't going to just stumble into heaven. It don't work like that. See, if they ain't really confessing, like sincere, see, if they sincere, they're going to come and say, see, after I got to say, I came to church. It wasn't just a once a week thing. It wasn't sporadic. It wasn't no quote unquote Easter, quote unquote Christmas. It wasn't once or twice a year. It wasn't like I was, you know, like I had been doing. You know, I'm clubbing all through the week, and I'll go to church when I feel like it, when I get scared or something like that, when I think of something bad about to happen, or maybe something funny going on with the job, talking about laying a solid, I'm going to start going. It wasn't that type of situation. See, once I called on him, I made a purpose, and I made a decision to go to church. See, that's what salvation is. I made consistent that I started reading my Bible. Something different about me. Because when I called on him, the Holy Spirit hit me, came on the inside, and indwelled me. See, the Holy Spirit, see, one thing we got to make sure we understand is that, see, the Holy Spirit don't possess. See, possession means that I take control. See, demons possess. The Holy Spirit indwells, meaning that he lives there now. And because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I want to read my Bible more. Because he lives in me, I want to pray without ceasing. Because he lives in me, I want to tell somebody about it. Because he lives in me, I want to show that brother, that sister, some love that I don't know. Because he lives in me, I want to walk right. Because he lives in me, I want to abstain from sin and keep away from sin. I'm fighting against sin every single day of my life. I'm fighting against sin in my mind. There's a war in my body because he lives in me. Because the Holy Spirit now indwells this man or that woman or that boy or that girl. See, that's what salvation is. Not this stuff where I quote a few stuff, I do some cute stuff. I heard somebody say, I pick up the Bible and I read some stuff. Or because everybody does a trend, it's trending now to say, oh, I love you. But do you really love people? See, we're not talking about that fake stuff. See, you can't, see, that's one thing, you're not gonna get past the gates. You're not just gonna get, when Christ judge you, he gonna open, the Bible says in Revelation, the 20th chapter, he said, and books were opened. Lord have mercy. And he going to search the scriptures. See, he already knows because the Bible says he's omni what? Potent. All power. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He sees all things. He already knows that you're not saved. But because I like the way he does things, all things decent and in order. That's what Paul said. The Most High does all things decent and in order. He going to make sure he's going to open up the books, black and white. Like they always say, black and white tells it all. He going to open up the books. He going to look for your name. And if your name ain't found in the Lamb's book of life, that's the Lamb that was slain, which you all know him as Christ the Messiah, Yahshua. Amen. See, that's the Lamb that was slain for my sins and your sins. And if you don't receive him before it's too late, like my daddy said, before you take the last breath of your body, if you don't receive him, it ain't no second chance. It ain't no going back because the Bible said, it says in John said when he saw him, he saw those four horses. One of those horses that he saw was the rider that was on it was death. And he said, hell followed right behind him. When you die, guess what's next? Death's going to take you right to hell, and that's it. Ain't no second chance. Big mama can't save you. Big daddy can't save you. The pastor of the church you went to can't save you. Can't nobody save you but you. This is what this word is for. This is why I spend hours and days and spend many years preaching and teaching and searching and researching the word to give you this because I love you because I don't want to see you lost. I want to see you in heaven with me. Though I may never see you in this life, I'm going to know who you are in the afterlife. Say, man, you used to listen to my show. You're going to know him. Say, man, I used to listen to your show. See, that's what I want you to say. And so many people are making jokes about it, playing games. This little son just got in mate the other week worshiping the devil and stuff. These folks have sold their soul. They think it's a game. But I'm here to tell you, you know, that you can't imagine hell. The Bible says over in Jude that hell and the lake of fire was made for Lucifer, the devil, Satan, and his angels. That's what he created hell and the lake of fire for. It wasn't meant for men. You think you can handle the lake of fire? You think you can handle hell? Baby, I got some news for you. Man, it got something that you can't imagine in hell. It's not meant for us. Come on, receive salvation. Let me share this with you real quick. This is what it kind of reminds me of. There's a lot of people that are tough out here on the streets until they go to jail. That's what my brothers used to say. I got some brothers that have been to the penitentiary. I got family members, cousins that have been to the penitentiary. I'm talking about cousins that have taken people lives and will sit here and tell you flat-faced and bold that are in gangs are wearing, I don't know if they still are, but that were in gangs, sit and tell you, man, if I can go back and do it again, I would have never done it. I would have went to work that day. I wouldn't listen to my friends. I got a cousin right now my age, did many years in prison for taking somebody's life. He'll tell you right now today, if I can go back and do it all over again, I wouldn't have did it. I would have went to work that day. I got family members sitting and tell you, man, don't come down here. This ain't where you want to be. This ain't for little boys. This ain't for the weak. So what you think hell is? You think hell is something that you can, and hell, trust me, hell is unimaginable. Hell is on a scale and a level that prison, ain't no prison on earth got anything on hell. We ain't talking about the lake. We ain't touched the lake of fire. We talking about hell. There ain't nothing. And so like the pastor used to tell, like our pastor said, so what in the hell do you want with hell? What in the world do you want with hell? You can't handle hell. These folks think they tough and they hard. I don't care what type of muscle you got. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how fine you think you are, how smart you think you are, how many degrees you got, how much money you got. What in the hell do you want? You can't handle it. You think you can. You can't handle it. You can't imagine it. It's got a sound down there that's not on earth that you ain't never heard. It's because it has pain that you ain't never felt on this earth. There's torture down there that you just can't comprehend. There's things that you will see that you just can't comprehend. So what do you want? It's torment. It ain't fun. It ain't partying. They ain't having orgies down there. I hate to be graphic, but I'm just being real. They ain't having orgies. They ain't watching television. They ain't no flash screens down there. They ain't down there partying. You think these folks didn't sold their soul? These people are just living the ungodly, unruly, that are unbelief. They go. That's a place of punishment. That's where the ungodly goes. The people who reject God and His Son and the Holy Spirit, that's where they go. It's the opposite of heaven. And when I say the opposite, I truthfully mean the opposite. Amen. I can see right now we're going to go ahead and go to full hour and a half today. Amen. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit use us. Amen. So hopefully this is blessing your soul because I love you. And that's why I preach fire and brimstone. That's why I preach like the old school. Sounds like don't nobody want to preach that. But it needs to be preached because we're getting closer and closer to the day of our salvation. Oh, Lord, come quickly. We are getting close to our redemption, our salvation. I look forward to the day that sky crack open and Christ raised the dead and he calls us that are still alive, if we're still here, that we be caught into the earth with him to meet him. I look forward to the day of heaven and standing before the bema seat of Christ. Amen. Right? We should look forward to that day because he's going to judge us. He's going to hand out rewards. That's what it's for. Not to condemn you. He's there to reward you. So many people act like they're so afraid to go to heaven. I'm like, why in the world would you be afraid to go to heaven? Why in the world would you be afraid of judgment? The people who should be afraid of judgment, which is the great white throne judgment, is the unbelievers. Lord have mercy. Man, please. I don't know, man. I look forward to that, man. I look forward to my salvation. I look forward to it. So let's go ahead and knock this thing on out. Amen. Let's go ahead and knock it on out. So let's go back to the scriptures. Amen. You know, sometimes I got to get in the spirit and freestyle and the Holy Spirit hit. We just got to be all beat. So now we've talked about the plan of salvation versus a sinner's prayer. Hopefully you understand the difference between the two. The plan of salvation is the method of justification. That's how you become saved. It's the transition over from an unbeliever to a believer versus a sinner's prayer. I don't call it the sinner's prayer because why? If a sinner was to pray to the Most High, he don't hear him. Now, does he hear your confession to become a believer? Yes, he does. You best believe he does. He's so ready for you to become a believer. Go ahead and confess it. Confession is like you tell somebody like your mama. We like to use mama because we know so many people are so passionate about their mama. They love their mama. Right? They love their daddy, too, but they love their mama, right? Because mama brought them into the world, so they love mama. You know, when mama had that baby, all my kids were always up under the mama when I had her. I'm like, look at her. But that's just how it is. You know, we kind of get a little jealous, all the kids I had, but they love to sit up under their mama, right? Okay, that's just how it is. They love their mama, right? So because they love their mama, what they do? They tell their mama, mama, I love you. You know, as men, we kind of look at her like, no, we got to be tough, right? But it kind of gets to you a little bit. But they tell their mama what? They love their mama, right? And we know Mother's Day is soon coming up, right? Okay? So I'm just using that as an example. That's a confession. When you love somebody, it's on the inside. It's got to come out because you love them so much. Okay? Now we're going to deal with salvation is now. not later. And this is so important to understand when I teach, when I tell people, when I teach. These next two topics are very important because this is why I stand on once saved, always saved. And there's so many scriptures that I could use that I stand on that, but this is so important. Now watch this. Salvation is now. It's not later. Soon as I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, the Holy Spirit indwells me. So you telling me that you're going to give Satan the power and authority to take your salvation, to me, you were never saved. In fact, I got scripture to prove that. You were never saved. And I hope I can, if I can go in and stick the scripture and not freestyle so much, I should be able to go ahead and knock that out. You were never saved. There's no such thing. You step down from salvation. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit is not there to leave you, and I got scripture to prove that. Watch this. So we're going to go and look at 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 2. And what I want you to understand is that salvation is not after you die. Salvation is now. Okay, I got some scriptures I want to share with you. So we'll go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. There we go. We'll look at verse 2. This is what it says. Paul said, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not later. Salvation is now. Though we will be changed later, because Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We know that eternal life is not yet, but it's yet to come. But we're going to receive the reward of salvation right now, because after we receive the greatest reward, which is immortality and eternal life, we receive that now in this life, not later. We receive it now. And the works that we do, we shall be what? Rewarded. So all that I do when I study, I listen to my word, I'm listening to my gospel music, I'm studying, I'm in a sense, I'm sharing the word with people, I'm showing love to people, I'm getting rewarded for every good thing that I do. Just like those who, they're going to be rewarded on all the evil things that they do. I'm going to be rewarded on all the good things that I do. And it's going to be constant. It'll never grow old. Your rewards will never grow old. You'll never get tired of it. And we don't know what all he has for us. That's what Paul said. We don't know what all he has for us. Salvation is going to be, I mean, eternal life is going to be so beautiful. Man, you don't want to miss this. I want you to get your tickets. They free. I'm handing them out. They free. Okay? Christ died on the cross for your sins that you may be saved. Salvation is free. That's the good thing about salvation. You don't even have to pay for it. All you have to do is accept it. And you accept it by confession. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. All power is in his hand. Now watch. We're going to go to Romans the 8th chapter, verse 1. We're going to take it back to Romans the 8th chapter, verse 1. So again, I want to show you that salvation is now, not later. Romans 8, chapter, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Yahshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I mean, if you listen right now, you become saved, you've already became saved listening to this show, that's it. There's now no more condemnation. You won't come to be condemned. You won't have to go to the great white throne judgment to be asked, why were you thinking evil thoughts? Why are you saying evil things? Why are you doing evil things? And I tell you right now, I'm one that, man, I hate to be grilled. I hate to be asked questions. That's why I do my job at work, because I don't want my boss saying anything to me or my manager, whatever you want to call him, or anybody. I don't like people saying anything to me. I don't like nobody running me up and down. I don't like nobody questioning me. That's why you just do right, right? Well, it's the same thing. You do right, you ain't got to worry about that. But you live ungodly, you reject Christ. Oh man, Christ gonna run you up and down. Man, these folks think they got all these Q said. I remember I used to hear people, I used to witness people, oh, I can't wait to talk to Christ. I can't wait to tell God. I'd be like, Lord have mercy. You think you saying all this stuff? All right, we're gonna move on. Not of works. Ephesians, so I just dealt with and just told you that salvation is now, it's not later, right? So here's the thing for you. Because here's what the people like to say, oh, you can't lose your salvation. And salvation is now in this life and not when you die. And salvation is supposed to be for all eternity. It's everlasting. John said that over in St. John, right? I think of St. John, the 3rd chapter, verse, I think it was verse 16, actually. Let me take a look at that real quick. He says in St. John 3 and 16, he says, it's everlasting life that you should not perish. What about that you don't understand? If you should not perish, that's a guarantee. you should not perish. It's everlasting life. Okay, well, how you gonna go back from life to death? That ain't what the scripture says. We pass from what? Death to life. It's eternal. It's all eternity. Meaning that you can't lose it. Come on now. It's yours for all eternity. It's guaranteed. So I serve a guaranteed God. Ooh, man, that's powerful. My God has made a promise of life to me. I want to share this with you. Ephesians, the 8th chapter. What are we looking at? Okay, Ephesians, let's move on. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. I'm sorry, Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. And we're talking about that salvation is not of works. The reason why I said that, because the other week, somebody tried to make a comment to me saying something about because of our works, we have our salvation. No, brother, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because of grace and mercy, because of his grace and your faith, you have salvation. So if it takes grace and your faith to get salvation, how all of a sudden it takes works to keep it? That makes no sense. And it takes works to get it. So there's nothing that you can do to keep it. Christ was the one that died on the cross, not me. Okay? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 2, 8, and 9. Verse 8 says, for by grace, there you are ye saved through faith. How you say? By the grace of God, and through you, because you had faith, because you came to him. You came to him crawling on your knees and said, Lord, I'm tired of life, I'm tired of sin. I ain't got beat up out here. I can't take it no more. That's what I did. Lord, I can't take it no more. Save my soul. I waved the right, the white flag. I surrender. And he saved my soul. Thank the Most High. Amen. He says, not in that. He said, what is it? It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. There is nothing that you can do to get yourself in heaven. That amazes me that people are still teaching that. I don't know where it came from, but they're teaching that. I know it was a popular old school teaching, but please stop teaching that. You can't do nothing to get yourself into heaven. Had it not been for the Lord, what's that like the old school saints? The old school saints were saying, they were, like they used to say, they were singing something, not singing, they were singing something. Had it not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Come on now. You ain't did nothing. Don't you dare stick your chest out. I had a brother, he was a pastor, stuck his chest out to me many years ago. Oh, he was flat-footed and bold-faced saying that, oh, he don't sin, brother. Be careful with that. I got scriptures on that, too. I had to show him some scriptures, but we all sin. Ain't none of us perfect. Okay, Paul dealt with that, but we're going to deal with that today. We're going to move on. But it says that it is the what? Gift of Yahweh, the gift of God, the one and only high God that sits upon the throne, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of God. It ain't nothing that you've done. It's a gift. So here's my thing. If I give you a gift and I take it back, it's not a gift. In fact, I'm not going to say it, but some people say that you was a giver. You know what type of giver I'm saying. I'm not going to say it because I don't want you know, make nobody feel no type of way. But I don't want to be, see, he's not somebody who will give you something and take it back. That ain't the God I serve. Why would he give, what sense did it make? What was the person sending his son if you could lose it? He didn't, you think Christ went through all that to lose you back to the world? Absolutely not. I don't serve a weak God. I don't know what God you're serving, but I serve the almighty, all-powerful God. My God is powerful, strong and mighty. Amen. He's strong and mighty. Man, can't nobody pluck you from his hand. That's what Christ said. We're going to deal with that next week. Can't nobody pluck you from his hand? He's strong and mighty. What the devil, please? The devil, he's beyond weak compared to my God. He, like I told you earlier, he ain't a nemesis to my God. He ain't a rival to my God. Woo, man, I serve an almighty, powerful God. Get out of that weak stuff. My God says the gift of God. Watch verse 9. Says, not of works, least what any man should boast. You ain't going to stick your chest out. You think you really going to get there and say, oh, Lord, I did this, and because I did, they're going to look at you like you lost. Nah. In fact, you won't even make it in with that type of mindset. Nah. That's an evil mindset to act like you've done something. Nah. We're not going to even go there. Let's move right on. Let's move right on. I got some more scriptures I got to touch on. So now we want to deal with the plan of salvation. How must one become saved? Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In fact, every time you hear me teach, you probably hear me say, talk about Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And this is the what? Method of justification. It is the plan of salvation. Amen. It is how you become saved. We thank the Holy Spirit. We thank the Son. We thank the Father. Watch what it says. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Yahshuah, amen, shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. One and done. I told you the other week when Christ, when Nicodemus spoke to Christ, Christ gave him an example. How many times must a man be born? You can't come out your mother's womb twice. Folks, stop teaching this nonsense. You only need to be born again one time, and you don't lose no salvation. You can't go back and be reborn again. One of the main purposes of that example between the discussion between Nicodemus and Christ, right? He said that we know that thou art a teacher. He said that they come from God. No man that can teach and speak like you except they come from the Most High. You can only be born once. Nicodemus said, can a man, when he is old, be born again of his mother's womb? Can you imagine that, man? Please, you kill the woman. Ain't no such thing. You got to be a baby. And that's how we are. When we pass from spiritual death to life, you're a baby in Christ. You're new. You're newborn. You're fresh out the womb. And you only need to be born one time because Christ only went to the cross one time. He died once for your sin. It's done. He took care of that. He took care of that business on the cross. He said, I died for that. And what you're doing and what you've done, he died for it. As long as you come to me and confess, and then what? We focus on living a better life, right? We follow after the Spirit. Verse 10 of Romans, the 10th chapter, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right. Now watch this. One more scripture. We're going to be almost done. I'll probably just freestyle the rest of the way. Oh, wow. I actually skipped over. This is very important. Once saved, always saved. Let's go to Ephesians. Back over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Amen. Had that in my notes. I almost missed that. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll try to be as humble as I possibly can. Amen. Not trying to brag or boast, but I've talked to many pastors and preachers and people who believe the opposite of once saved, always saved. When I sit down and talk to them, I say, show me one scripture. I know two scriptures in the Bible, but I don't never share it with nobody. I don't give nobody no weapon for them to stand on no one scripture. I know two scriptures. I know because they don't, once you do your thorough, your thorough study, you'll see that that's not what it's saying. But some people can take those scriptures and misconstrue them to make them seem like, oh, well, see, he's saying you can lose your son. That's not even what he's saying. So you got almost 100 scriptures that support eternal life and salvation. You're going to come over with two scriptures. I don't even share it with nobody, okay, because I don't want to get nobody, no few, to stand on no two scriptures. When the Bible clearly said that you are saved. Now, watch this, especially Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14. Watch what it says. It says, in whom ye also trusted. Who do we trust? We trust the Christ. We trust the Most High, right? The Bible says, trust no man. That means don't even trust yourself. But I trust my Father in heaven. I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust the Son. Amen. That ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. Okay? So again, you've inherited what? Eternal life, salvation, eternal salvation, because we have believed what? The gospel. The scripture says ye were sealed up. You have a private mark on you, a signet. You've been see that word that saying "were sealed" in the Greek is interpreted to stamp. You have a mark. You've been marked. You are saved. You've been sealed. That's it. You belong to him. Basically, is what it means. You are his. Not to be lost back to the devil. The devil is a lie. All right? Now watch this. I want to give you all the scriptures today, so I'm going to shut my whole off on the rest of the scriptures to next week. Because so I'm going to include some love in there. I'm going to transition salvation in love next week. So there was another scripture I want to share with you. The victory guarantee is go to St. John, the 8th chapter, verse 51. Again, St. John, I'm a little old school. Remember, I went to church, the old school saints. I told you my parents were older than my friend's parents. So I was taught by the old school, with the old school saints, old school church. So we say St. John. No, we don't call it St. John no more, but St. John, the 8th chapter, verse 51. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." And let me interpret it. A lot of people think when it says keep, it's a continual thing with your salvation. That's not what he's saying. Does it keep his saying mean that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that's it. Acknowledge Christ. If you know that Christ, anytime he did something to somebody, he always asked them, do you believe? You have to keep his saying that he's the Son of God. If you keep that saying, you believe it, that's it. That means that you're keeping his saying, right? He said he shall never see death. So now I'm going to go over to, and I'm just going to do a few scriptures. St. John, the 5th chapter. I probably should be saving some of these scriptures. St. John, the 5th chapter. Let's look at verse 24 and 25. We're going to get ready to shut it down. St. John, the 5th chapter, verse 24 and 25. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," there we go, "that keepeth his saying, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death," Lord have mercy, "unto life." Look at that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." Your salvation is now, baby. "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God," Yahweh. Amen. "And they that hear shall live forever." Salvation is forever. Don't see the devils out here then somehow put that into the church, and somebody has ran with it and just been just misleading people all these years and teaching that stuff. And I tell pastors over the years, I've told pastors, I'm 20 years older now than what I was when I first got saved. When I was a young man, I used to tell people, and that's your place. I don't care about your title. Your place is to tell the truth. If it's a pastor, the Bible says you go to your, at that point, he's your brother. So it don't matter about his title. He's your brother. If people are misteaching or incorrectly dividing the word, then you ought to call them out on that and say, "Brother, don't teach that. That's not scripture. Where in the Bible is that?" And you sitting there before them, they're sitting at their desk, and you sitting across from the desk, and they can't show you. Well, you're supposed to be the pastor. You're supposed to be the man of God. And that's not boasting or bragging or saying anything. That's just saying that's your place is to correct. It don't matter about it. If it's me and my title, it don't matter about my title. If I'm wrong, you should come to me and say, "Brother, I don't believe that. I got some scripture. Well, show me some scripture." So you got to show. You got to prove the word. You can't just tell me, "Brother, that's wrong." Okay, well, okay, brother, I've been told I've been wrong. Well, show me the scripture. Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, wait a minute, brother. You can't sit there and tell me I'm wrong and just say I send there somewhere. Well, that ain't giving me much to stand on if you just tell me it's in there. I had a brother tell me, "Oh, it's in there." Well, brother, if it's in there and you saying it, show me where it's at. Because if I say it, I'm going to show you where the word is. I'm going to show you the scripture. Chapter and verse. And as you said back in the day, chapter and verse, brother. There it is. Salvation is by faith. Faith comes by believing and hearing. Right? Romans the 10th chapter over there in verses 14 and 15. How can they hear unless they hear what? A preacher. Okay? I'm not going to just do, I don't just talk. I give you the scripture to back it up. And that's not bragging or boasting or being arrogant. That's just telling, that's just love. I do that because I love you. I go through all that because I love you, because I want you to be saved. I want you to know. As Paul said, "Brother, I would not have you to be ignorant." So I love Paul, because Paul was just up front. Paul didn't play with nobody. He go talk to you, "I have you to not be ignorant." Paul said, "I want you to know what's going on. We want you to be saved because we love you." And so, folks, family, I'm going to say the rest. I don't give you too much. I'm going to say the rest until next week. I love you. Take care. Stay safe. Be praying for one another. Be looking out for one another. If you got unbelievers in your family, please be praying for them that they stay safe and that you pray that they get saved. Family, I love you. Until next week, be blessed. You are royalty. I am royalty. And I'm out. Peace.